Yeah, so right then. What time is it? If you said tea drinking time, you're correct. If you said it's 1930 UTC, well, then you are also correct. So everybody wins. Yay. I also win. Who am I, you might ask? Well, my name is Tobe. I am the chairman of this, the Dubious Goals Committee. And here I am, sitting on my floor. The CAT, named PIPPA, still appears to be sleeping underneath some kind of kitty tent. That's good. That means we don't have to do any kitty business right now. And what that means instead is that we can watch this very important sporting event that is just now starting on my television. From the MCG, Melbourne, Australia, we are watching some footy. Yeah, we got footy today. And if it's at the MCG, then I guess we can just presume that Melbourne is playing in this game? I'm not sure. All I've been able to see so far are some uniforms, and I don't immediately recognize away kit for Australian rules football teams. Or for home kit, for that matter. Yeah, I can recognize some here and there, but this is Cats. This is... And I always want to say the Geelong Cats. It's not Geelong's, it's Geelong. Or is it Geelong? Where's my Australian listenership when I need them? I gotta wonder if this is a final or something, because this is being taking place in Melbourne, but it's the Geelong Cats versus the Hawthorn Hawks. No, this is not the final. And here's the, not the kickoff, the throw-up, or whatever they call it. The game starts similar to a basketball game.
Did everything but hold it in the end, and we'll get another bounce inside forward 50. So a great start for the Cats, straight away up into their forward line.
Big call, Kingy. Stratton going to Hawkins at the moment.
So McAvoy does it again, tries to get his own ball out. Ablett with the quick hands. Little flick of the hands by Dalhouse. Tui out wide. Awkward bounce. Great play by Hawkins though. Gets it going. Harry Taylor bombs it up towards the forward pocket. Radicalea's the man there, but a good thump from Tim O'Brien over the line and out of bounds. About 20 metres around from the Geelong goal in this opening quarter.
It looks early on, Ed, whether Tom Hawkins might be going to get up the field a bit, get to work there, because Stratton's going to...
So what do you think? Is Geelong going to get the opening goal? They're inside the 50.
Hasn't kicked many goals the last few weeks, Tom Hawkins.
Hawkins doing the ruck work. Good hard tackle by Sean Burgoyne. Umpire circles and... Well, ball it up.
Just looking at Hardwick versus Gary Ablett, he's very, very nervous around the last stoppage, and he will be again here maintaining contact. You can't allow the little man to weave his magic.
And in case you're wondering, you are actually listening to a review of Australian Football League, and that's why I can claim fair use and play a snippet of this game under international copyright conditions. So, reviewing the game so far, we are 59 seconds into the first quarter. Each quarter is 20 minutes, and the score is 0-0. I'm finding it rather exciting and very interesting. Uh-oh, the cat has shown up. She hears somebody talking, and she knows it's me.
Pokes the pass. Dangerous. Henderson having a good season. Couldn't trap it. Rowan tried to get through traffic. Wrapped up by Hardwick. Impy. Time to spend it wisely. Goes down the spine nicely. Smith, O'Meara, he blasts it. Tall forward line for the Hawks. They've got O'Brien, Nash and Lewis all down there. Ball flicked out to Gunston, who's back into the lineup this week. Splendid tackle by Blitzars. It was on him like rust. Didn't go anywhere.
Well, this is crazy. Out of the last minute and 40 seconds, I've actually seen two frozen tackles that have then had to go to bounce-ups or toss-ups or whatever they call them. They didn't bounce it that time. He just threw it up in the air. See, here's another one. This is usually kind of a rare deal, so pretty excited about it. Oh, look, and there's a crow on the field. He's just walking around in the middle of the field. There's people playing around him. And there is actually a team called the Crows, if memory serves. Oh, yeah. So anyway, here I am sitting here watching footy. My cat can't figure out what the hell's going on. And, yeah, so the Crows team is Adelaide. How do I know that? Because I have this awesome ballpoint pen that has the pullout schedule for the Adelaide Crows footy season that was sent to me by none other than SDF user Solderpunk, who is some kind of Australian. Maybe he's from Adelaide. He's Adelaidean. Still no score in the game here.
It's an interesting one, though, bringing a tagger in. So I just wonder whether they thought that Birchall was doubtful all week.
Yeah, they need me to be the tagger. They need me to come in and with my spray paint and just tag the place up. There's lots of stuff painted on the field. There's lots of ads and logos and stuff. Toyota, big Toyota logo. And what's back there? That's another Toyota logo, an AFC logo, or an AFL. What do they call it? Yeah, AFL, Australian Football League. And okay. Oh, they got the ball back inside the 50, but yeah, they're bobbling it around. Defense is too good. He takes a kick. Oh, he's got a guy, Speckies. Boom. Geelong puts it through for the first goal of the game.
Geez, you love that from your big key forwards, don't you? We know he's a powerful unit. Keane spoke about him before the game, and so did Moons. But, geez, you know, we were mainly talking about him getting targeted and not his defensive pressure. Have a look at this for a while.
And here we go with the replay of it. There's some guys scrubbing around about 45 meters out. Guy puts it up. There's a guy standing there. There's no offsides. He catches it. That's a mark. He just blumps it across the line from about 20 meters out. As we saw in round five. The score is now Geelong 6, Hawthorn 0, and we've only had about 3 minutes of play, so I'm having a good time. That goal was scored by Jordan Clark. Yay for Jordan. Now they're going to bounce the ball up in the middle again, and the game is back in play.
It's his eighth goal in game number 16. Here they go, Kelly out of the center. They're looking good at the Cats at the moment. Turned over, almost there by McAvoy. Good play by Gunston. Gets the ball working.
Yeah, you got to understand that. We got to watch this because Geelong, the Geelong Cats, are Pippa's favorite team because they're Cats. And that's why we root for them. Let's go, Cats.
Big mark required. Taylor. At the fall of the ball, it was picked up nicely by O'Connor. Interception. Hawks get it back. Gunston.
That's a problem. The Hawks are inside the 50-meter arc. Oh, but they've been brought down by the defense. Time for another ball up.
County Kerry.
Ball up, kids.
Mark O'Connor doing very well. And another ball up this time.
This is a potential scoring opportunity for Hawthorn because they're not even 10 meters in front of the goalposts. They cannot retrieve the ball. We're going to have another ball up here. Word up. And the referee throws it up in the air. There's a jump. And Hawthorn gets their hands on it, but nope. Geelong defense forces the ball out of bounds.
It's a great story, Mark Blitzhouse. Could not play a game.
It is a great story, and this is a great game. Everybody should watch this and play this. Why do we not have this in America? I do not understand. Americans would love this. Although, maybe they wouldn't, just because there's not enough timeouts and it's too long. How's an American going to understand a 20-minute quarter? So, to summarize my review of this game, it's great. I'm glad the Cats are winning. We still got 75 minutes left to play, and it's going to be a good time. So, I'll just have this going on in the background while we do some other stuff. Maybe we should get down to some kind of business, because look who just pulled up here. Hi. Hi, Fluffy Butt. What are you doing? You want to get on the banky? All right, you can get on the banky. Oh, no, you don't want to... Okay, yeah, you sit over there. We'll keep watching the Cats. Anyway, here's an interesting thing that happened. It rained. And it's kind of rainy right now. Sort of came out of nowhere, but suddenly last night there was rumblings of thunder, that low, far away, distant rumble that doesn't stop kind of thunder. You know, it just goes, you know, for like 20 minutes. It was awesome. And so when I woke up this morning, well, you know, this afternoon. No, actually, I did wake up in the morning. I jumped up. I noticed it was still wet and rainy, but it wasn't actually raining. And my thermometer said 70 degrees. And I thought, baby, maybe I should go outside. Although that's dangerous. Although 70 degrees would normally be a pretty safe temperature for me to go outside. When it's this humid, you know, it's been raining, so it's 100% humidity, or, you know, 98% or whatever. But I decided to throw caution to the wind. And I went to Herrenhaven. Now, I know what you're thinking. You're thinking, Tobe, if you went to Herrenhaven, why didn't we just do Dubious Goals Committee from Herrenhaven? Well, that's because I haven't charged up any batteries lately. And so, you know, I've been stuck inside. Batteries haven't been charged. And so, yeah. But yeah, I went to Herrenhaven. First thing I saw was a baby rabbit. And he was cute. And then I started looking for motts. Couldn't find any motts. Looked around and I did not see any. And then I started walking through the forest. And as I was walking through the forest, you know, it's a little bit drizzly, so there's just a little bit of sound covering up my passage. And as I'm walking through the forest, I wasn't, you know, 10 steps in when I saw something interesting by a tree, and it was sort of like the color of a wet paper bag, and I thought, I think that's a deer sitting up against that tree. And yes, it was. It was this little deer. It wasn't full grown, but it wasn't a baby. It was sort of medium. It was an adolescent deer. So I kept walking through Herrenhaven. I saw a turtle or two and some ducks. A lot of ducks. Then when I was walking through like the second part of Herrenhaven, I'm walking through and I'm looking under a bush and there's another sort of thing that looks like a wet paper bag. But this time it has white spots. Yes, another baby deer just sitting out there. I've snuck up on two deer just sitting on the ground. That's unusual. And, you know, I'm close to them. Of course, I couldn't really get any pictures. I did take my camera, but these guys were hidden enough behind branches and stuff that not going to get a photo of that. You're not going to get a camera to look in the right place. So, yeah, so I walked around in there some more, heard some funny frogs. I saw a green heron, but no blue herons. And then when I was walking back out, I saw one of the deer again. I saw the baby with the spots, but the first guy I saw wasn't where he was, so I sort of walked around to the Mulholl's property, and I saw him. He saw me, and he's like, wah! And he jumped, and he ran back into the forest. So then I left, and as I was leaving, I drove up Turkey Street, and I saw one turkey, and I saw one marmot. Yeah, I was just sort of coming around the corner there, and there's a marmot sort of sitting on the curb eating grass, doodle-oodle-oo. And he's like, whoa, hey, dude. And I'm like, hey, dude. So that was great. I got to see some animals and stuff and enjoy the weather. The bad news is I then had to come back into my house, and it's actually warmer in my house than it is outside. Yo, that's not a good thing. That is not a good thing. Yeah, so when I got home, the act of coming indoors actually made me go into an allergic reaction. Not a very severe one, but I've got cholinergic urticaria popping up on my wrists. You know, and this was what, 20 minutes ago, 30 minutes ago now? I don't know, I'm not paying any attention. Ugh. So we just have to turn the air conditioner on a little bit and let it start to refrigerate me. And I need to do things to stay cool. For example, I need to drink some iced tea. And that's the... God, that's good. That's the other important thing I need to tell you. Last night I discovered an incredible new tea blend. Wow. And I'm drinking it now. It's absolutely blowing my mind. God, it's so freaking good. Basically, last night... What was I even thinking last night? I went up to go get some more iced tea. Ran out of tea, went up to the kitchen, got a new ice cube, put it in my cup. And then I reached into the refrigerator to grab, you know, the jug of tea. And this would be my normal tea, my normal everyday drinking tea. This is the tea I drink cold in the summer. It's the tea that I drink hot in the winter. Everybody who listens to this show should know by now that this is, in fact, a black and green Earl Grey. It's a black and green tea blend with a little bergamot oil in it. It's all organic. Okay, so I grab the jug of this tea, and there's not very much left. And so I pour it into my iced tea cup, and of course, it's only half full now. Like, I wanted a full cup of tea. Okay. So I go back to the refrigerator. And now I have two options. I can open up the other jug of this tea because, you know, this is part of my strategic tea supply. Got plenty of tea in the refrigerator. Or I could fill the rest of the glass up with the other tea, the black tea. That has apricot in it, or apricot, however you pronounce it, apricot. Okay, right? So I'm sitting there thinking, yeah, I don't even know why, but I grabbed that jug instead. I grabbed the jug of the black tea, and so I poured it into the cup, filling the cup the rest of the way. So in the cup, then I have a 50-50 combination of a black and green blend with bergamot and the black tea, which is, you know, I've said in the past that it's kind of like a Maofeng, but it's really more like Lapsang. It's a lap, sort of like, if you've ever had Lapsang Souchong, that's what this is like. It's like that, except a little bit stronger, and it's got apricot shreds in it, okay, right? So it sort of has this apricot taste, right? So you blend those two together, you let them mix, and then I tried it. And I'm drinking it now, and oh my God. You know, it's funny because the apricot flavor is diluted enough with the addition of the bergamot. It's weird. You sort of get this almost like buttery note. You get this buttery edge, and it almost tastes like, it's like a little bit buttery, a little bit almost like vanilla. Okay. It that goes high up into the nose, up into the high sinuses, you know, it's like, what is that? Is that vanilla? You know, you could give that to somebody and they would say, oh, I taste notes of vanilla. And you'd be like, yeah, I think that's the apricot. A little bit of that apricot flavor. And now the weird thing is I wouldn't drink this hot. I would not drink a combination of this hot. That would be too much. Well, I don't know that for a fact. I should probably try it at some point. But no, I don't think this would work hot. I gotta tell my friend Brian. That's my plan for immediately after this show. I gotta email Brian and tell him, hey, I've got this weird new blend. You might like this. It's crazy. So, yeah, remind me to email Brian. Oh, and remind me to go to the store. I am actually out of maple syrup. I've got what? 60 waffles in my freezer. I think I've got 5 dozen waffles, and I've got no maple syrup. That's not good, kids. That is not good. And if I remember to do all that, I will be happy. But speaking of remembering things, the other day, a regular listener to this show and SDF user, Ramirez, he happened to mention the Average White Band and the song Pick Up the Pieces. And I thought to myself, you know, I haven't heard that in a while. I think today's musical interlude is going to be Average White Band. Pick up the pieces. Yeah, that's so dope. Oh, man. That was the Average White Band with Pick Up the Pieces from about 1974 or 1975. I don't remember exactly. What I remember the most about that song is something entirely different, a strange detail of my life. Do you ever... Okay, we've talked about this a couple of times, but not recently. If you are like me, there are people in your life that you know, but you don't know how you know them. You know, maybe it is just me, or maybe it's just a musician thing. I know my friend Lash has this same problem. But yeah, you know, normally if you think of your friends, you think of, oh yeah, I've been friends with him because I knew him in high school, or I've known that guy since first grade, or I used to work with this guy, or I'm friends with this guy because he is friends with that guy, okay, right? Well, for me, there are some people in my life that I don't know how that I know them. I realize that sounds weird and bizarre, but there's a number of these people. And one of them is a guy named Todd Smith, who is probably the best drummer I know. Or I should qualify that. He's the great drummer, and he's all around great. He's the best all around drummer that I've ever heard in my life. And I've known some guys, I know some other great drummers who I hope aren't getting offended if they hear this, because some of my other friends are better at stylistic things than all-around chops, but that's a different conversation. So one day, I run into Todd, the drummer, and he says, hey man, we're playing tonight, come see us play, blah blah blah. And it's really weird, because he knows me. It's one of these guys that, like, the first time I remember running into him, he's like, yeah, hey, Tobe, how are you? Blah, blah, blah. And I didn't know who he was, or at least I thought I didn't, so I just sort of played along. But anyway, so one day I run into this guy, Todd, and he says, hey, if you're not doing anything, swing by. We're playing at, you know, super fancy place that's, you know, the bar in a restaurant that's on top of a building, and it's expensive. Okay, right? So I said, yeah, well, I got to do a thing tonight, but if you're going to be there all night, yeah, I could probably swing by. And he's like, yeah, we're playing all night, blah, blah, blah. So that night I had to go out with my girlfriend. This would be Eileen. And we went out to eat, and we were doing some other stuff. I don't remember what we were doing. She's like, well, what should we do now? Let's go downtown and blah, blah, blah. And I said, yeah, okay. So we go downtown, and I said, oh, yeah, let's go to blank, the super fancy expensive place. And she gets really excited. She's like, ooh, I love that place. I never get to go there. You never take me there. How come you never take me there? Blah, blah. Well, because it's, you know, $60 for a hamburger. Well, regardless. So I finally take her to the place where she's dreaming. She's always wanted me to take her to, and blah, blah. This is the same chick that would walk past the most expensive store in town and then say, why don't you ever buy me for anything from here? Okay, right. Then I take her into the $10,000 guitar store. Then I say, how come you never buy me anything? Okay, so anyway, we go to the fancy restaurant bar. And I remember walking in, and the band is playing. And I can hear Todd drumming. And what song are they playing? They're playing Pick Up the Pieces, the song we just listened to, by the Average White Band. And I walked into this place, and this band blew me away. I knew this band was pretty good. But we're talking way too good. And Todd, the drummer, was absolutely incredible. And the other side note is, Todd is the only union musician that I know, let alone drummer. He's that good. This is a right-to-work state. But yeah, so anyway, even my girlfriend Eileen at one point in time leaned over to me and said, geez, this band is pretty good, aren't they? And I'm like, yeah, they are pretty good. Really tight, really good. And what ended up happening to that band is an interesting story in itself that we don't have time for, because you've been listening to the Dubious Goals Committee, a show that airs every single day at 1930 UTC right here on Anon Radio. Drinking my... it's so good. My new blend of tea. I gotta go do some other stuff, so I'll talk to you later. Bye-bye.
This is the end of the line for me. The end of the line, yes?